Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
One. All right, welcome back, everybody. It is Pit Pass and Absurd After Party. Denny Stevenson, Scott Casper with you. It is a Justin Brayton weekend. Got some great guys on the dais right now. Damon Bradshaw, Justin Brayton, obviously. Chad Swap-Pedersen. Cody Gilmore is in and out. Matt Byton is here on the weekend doing some jump. He actually jumped over the tent that Tony had set up for the after party, which I thought was pretty cool. Mark Bunnell is our host here at Pole Position Raceway in Grimes, Iowa. Big shout out to my buddy Tony Wink. I know he's put a lot into the weekend, but we were greeted with rain and a lot of clouds and a lot of wet. So we'll get right back to it. When we left, we were talking a little bit with Swap about his personal experiences and his experiences as a racer, but also how disappointed you can be as a racer when your contract gets canceled because of one thing or another. How does a guy like you settle down? I've known you a lot of years. How does a guy like you settle down and realize that it is just business at that point?
Well, yeah, I get that. I mean, I was just bummed because I was really looking forward to a good year, which I have every year. And it just seems like something stupid would always happen. You know, I'd break my femur or I'd break my arm.
I think we can all agree it's a vicious, cruel mistress of a sport.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it will rip your heart out. Mm-hmm. And like you said, at the Nationals coming home, the Nationals are so gnarly. And so, like, you just better be prepared for 3 months of pain, you know, win or lose. And I, you know, I've seen Damon just pin Chad after the races, you know. And you said you came home after a race, you know, called your wife or girlfriend after getting a 4 or 5 and were like in tears. Like, I don't want to do this anymore. It is breaking me.
Yeah.
Well, that did happen to me. So it was like 88, which is weird because I didn't do the whole after Loretta's thing and go to a national.
What was your last year at Loretta's?
88.
Mine,
well,
too.
89.
Did you win both classes?
88, I did.
88,
did. What class? That was 125A and 58?
Yeah. But it's like after 88. I waited to go to California to race out there with Diamond and all those guys.
The Golden State. Yep.
And
could you imagine that now today? Like all those, just all the factory guys, everybody going racing.
That's crazy.
And just an off race.
Yeah. I think Diamond was,
yeah.
It was a Transcal.
Yep.
It was a Transcal race.
I did that and did the Winter Am, which I like the Winter Am better. I like going to Florida better.
I can imagine.
Had to go to California. Had to chase the competition.
So, Chad, when you were a double class winner at Loretta's, did you already have a factory ride going into the pros then? Because now, if you win two championships, and then you turn pro, it's like you've got
the Horizon Award.
Yeah. You got everything. Did you have a factory ride then, or did you just go to California on your own?
I went to California on my own.
Really?
And it's like I don't know. I took off that first 250 moto, and Diamond was behind me the whole freaking time. He passed me last lap, and I'm like, man.
What track was it?
Atlanta.
Atlanta. Yeah. Yep. Sandy, fast.
Yep.
Yeah.
But I fell, and I hurt my arm, and I'm like, I'm done for the day. I'm not going to ride. Well, Mark Easley comes up. He goes, dude,
Easley.
You're killing it.
Man.
You cannot. You have to ride. I'm like, no, dude, I'm hurting. No, you have to ride. I'm like, oh, all right.
You sound like Justin Hill.
And it's like they had that 90-foot tabletop there.
Yep.
And I don't know, I hit the face of that. My arm gave out, and like just helicopter ride to the
– Can we admit that Mark Easley was a terrible influence?
He was a terrible influence.
Who was Mark Easley?
He was a funny story, which is maybe a little inappropriate, but I don't care. Mark Easley was a Suzuki mechanic when Budman and Swap rode for Suzuki Arena Cross with, yep, Billy Willie. I'm not really sure the possible year that would have been, but 99 maybe?
99.
I was riding last year with Tuff, And we, after every arena cross in Dallas, Fort Worth, it was around, well, we'd stay Sunday and go to the men's club, a favorite dancing studio. And we'd go there real early during the day, and we'd eat lunch, and we'd watch football and watch each dinner, and Easley and Swap were there with all of us and just decided they wanted to leave. So they just took the rental car, took Bud's bags, left us all there, just went to the airport, said, we're done. That's not exactly the story, but we're doing a little editing. But I think Easley was soon fired.
Yep,
because of that editing. And so let's just admit it. Well, it's a good call that those two times you listened to him.
Yeah, perfect.
That's so funny. I didn't even know that about the Adelanto deal. I remember that that weekend in Dallas. Highly recommend that place.
It was a lot of fun. But yeah, no, that's like, yeah, I got done with that. And so then I came back in 89 and I didn't really care to ride a motorcycle too much because it hurt me. So kind of like you now.
Yeah, I hate those things.
Yeah.
Dirt bikes are the stupidest thing ever.
But yeah, at 89, then I just didn't perform.
So what was your first ride then going for Nationals?
My first one was like Binghamton.
But what was your first sponsorship? What was your first contract you got a salary?
Yamaha.
I was sponsored. Was DGY?
Nope, I was with Factory Yamaha as a support rider with Damon.
Oh, yeah.
And I floundered so freaking bad, it was pathetic.
Did you have to test and ride practice with him?
Yep.
God, that had to be demoralizing.
It was horrible.
It was very similar to all the laps that he was talking about with Pro Circuit. It was the same way that Yamaha was the testingest company at the time by far. I mean, shocks and pipes, and you just lost contact with any of them. It was like, well, what was good? Well, I don't know.
I lost that an hour ago. What did my notes say?
Yeah, it's 5 o'clock. I've been riding since 8:30, and they want you to do just one more. That was John R's famous words.
And you can't believe those guys. I think just John R's still there. Did he retire?
No, he retired.
Keith's still there though, right?
Keith is. It was funny because 16 or 17. I went to San Diego Supercross, and there were guys underneath that tent that were at Yamaha when I was there and started riding 80s, and they're still there.
Still there.
Like Bob, Ron Heben was back, and, yeah. You know, Bob Oliver just retired.
It's insane. We talk about, I think it's something we never talk about. In ball sports, when a team fails, you get rid of a few of the players, you get a few of the coaches, and eventually you get rid of the GM, you know, because who's responsible for all this garbage that the team's producing? Motocross never happens that way. Riders are always a problem.
Yeah.
Bikes are never the problem. Coaches are never the problem. The GMs, the same four brands have had almost the same team manager for the last, 25, 35 years.
Never thought about it that way.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, why isn't they take a little internal look instead of blaming all these riders and looking for the next best thing? Because that's another thing we talk about is that how cruel the sport is if you miss a few rounds, there's obviously a kid right behind you that's going to try and it's going to do better. And just because you had a few bad motos or even a bad, you're only as good as your last race.
Well, it's like, I just felt like, I was always on the chopping block.
Yeah.
And it's like, gosh, I get injured and it's like,
see ya.
You think kids today are too coddled coming in with these factory rides and having Star already given their kids, these amateur kids, factory bikes and like, what do they got to work for?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's crazy when these kids get.
I mean, you were just an angry bastard, so you didn't really, nothing mattered to you. You know, a lot of these kids don't ever have that fire. I mean, that's what I've always loved and respected about you is that fire. I think it makes these guys soft. For you, it just made you want to just kill and destroy.
Yeah, I mean, again, it just was, that's what motivated me. You know, everybody is different. But you were talking about, being blindsided kind of by a contract thing. That happened to me in 96 at Yamaha. You know, I came back and Keith had told me that my contract was going to be renewed, and I didn't really have any bargaining power. I couldn't say, I wanted more money or whatever, and I got results weren't that good. And in 96, I was going to sign for 97. And after Washougal had best ride of the year, Monday morning he called me and said that they decided not to renew my contract. And basically he had said that all we have to do is get the paperwork done and we'll be ready to sign. So I thought I was in. And Monday morning, nope, you're not. And it's like, wow.
I just rode my best.
Yeah, that had never happened to me. So it was, I was really mad for, 30, 45 minutes. First phone call was, I called Bob Hannes and told him what had happened and what I was thinking about and kind of gave me some advice. And then the next phone call was Jim Hill. We had a team like
that in Manchester.
Yeah, and it was one of my funnest years racing.
Because you did it because you wanted it at that point. The pressure was off. Like, I just wanted to
go. Yeah, yeah. And Jim's like, you know, I don't really care how we do. I'm just glad we're here.
Right.
And I did. I had a lot of fun.
Fellas, up against the clock, top of the hour, break, and then back for hour number two. But when we come back, I'd like to have each of you give us your opinion on the state of the industry now, because there have been some leadership changes. Most notably, we've seen the rise of KTM. Husqvarna is rising again. Honda's holding its own. Yamaha, Suzuki, Kawasaki, the brands that we've known to really rule the roost in racing. Things are changing a little bit. I'd like each of you to offer your opinion when we come back, if you would please. It is Pit Pass Motor Racing Weekly, along with our buddies from Absurd After Party, Debo's edition of that, Denny Stevenson, Scott Casper with you. Shout out to Mark Bunnell, Pole Position Raceway, where we are on this particular rainy day. We appreciate Mark opening up his facility for us and for fellow race fans. So with that, we'll send it back to the studio and to break. We'll be back. Our number two is coming. Stay tuned.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.